Linda, will you come and read to us, please?
And the reading is Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honour. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Do you know what an earworm is? Earworm is where you have a tune that keeps going round and round in your head and you can't get rid of it. Well, I've had a verse worm. And it's a verse in scripture about falling into the ground and dying and being raised again. And it's been on my mind a lot for the last few weeks. And I wanted to read the passage that came from. And it's from John chapter 12 and verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with the request, "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip turned to told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I've glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd was there, heard it, and said it had thundered, while others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world, and the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from heaven, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. This psalm, this short psalm, Psalm 8, is a wonderful psalm to remind us that God is good. Creation itself proclaims the glory of God, and David joins in the praise. Probably David was looking up at the stars in the evening and thinking, "Who am I that you love me?" And I think most of us can relate to that, can't we? When we think about who we are and what we are and how we fail so often, and yet God says, "I love you. I care for you. And you are wonderful to me." And we would echo the words of David, "Who am I that you love me?" As I said, creation itself proclaims the glory of God, and David joins in the praise. Throughout the Old Testament, was presented with what known as types of Christ. Types of Christ, meaning pictures of what Christ would be. And David is a type of Jesus too. He's a type in that he shows the way of Jesus, of how Jesus is going to come. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem, the same as Jesus. Both shepherds. David, a shepherd, of course, of literal sheep, whereas Jesus is the shepherd of us and our shepherd. Rejected by their siblings, David's siblings said to him, go back into the fields. Jesus' siblings said, he is mad, let's take him away. They both faced an enemy in the wilderness. Jesus faced the devil himself, and David faced the enemy of the bears and the lions that he protected the flock from. Both exiles before becoming proclaimed king. Beloved, David, the name David means beloved. Jesus is beloved too. And both were obedient to God. The difference, of course, was that David was failing and made mistakes, whereas Jesus never made a mistake. He was perfect in all his ways. And this should give us hope. Give us hope that David, in his failing life, as his ability to muck it up again and again, still loved by God, treasured by God. And so are we. This is also a messianic psalm, meaning the New Testament quotes this psalm in relation to Jesus. Matthew 21, Hebrews 2, 1 Corinthians 15, Ephesians 1. All of these things proclaim God and his goodness. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and a son of man that you care for him? Its teaching regarding Christ is that he, Jesus, is king above all other kings, and God is good. First of all, there's praise. What do you think of when you think of the word praise? Hymns or songs? Prayer? This psalm seems to indicate that praise is simply going, wow, at God. Amazing. Our God is amazing. Our God is wonderful. There's a picture I found on the internet one time which showed the door of the church going out, and over the top of it, it said, you are now entering a place of worship. Meaning that as we leave here, we worship God. It's not done just here in this place, but praise is about a life, a dedication to God, and simply going, wow, isn't God good? This psalm essentially is a psalm of praise. Remember, there was no light pollution in those days. The stars and the moon were very prominent in the sky. And David looks up and he considers and he feels small. I get the same feeling when I stand at the beach in Filey, and it's sometimes dark, and sometimes you just get this picture of this vast ocean and the vast sky, and you think to yourself, what is mankind? What am I that you are mindful of me? And human beings, you care for them. And if David had reason to praise God for his life and for his knowing that God is good, how much more do we? God has told us that he has now had victory over the devil and of death. The victory started and is working its way to completion. When Jesus came, he overcame the devil. In the desert, when he overcame him and resisted him, and then upon the cross when the devil did his best to try and kill Jesus, and Jesus came back to life. The theologians call it inaugurated eschatology. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you about it again afterwards. But they call it inaugurated eschatology, which means the beginning of the end. The kingdom of God came with Jesus. It started with him, and it will be completed by him when he returns. God is good. Who are we that God should visit us? Who are we that Christ should die for us and more lift us up to be with him one day? That's the great promise. That's the great promise that we have for Chris at this time. To know that he is with his Lord and Savior right now and has heard those words that we are promised in Scripture. Well done, good and faithful servant. So we have promise. Then we have position. What is humanity's place in creation? What is humanity's place in creation? Where do we fit? Verse 5 in that psalm says, you have made him, or them, a little lower than the angels or of God. And that means us. He has made us a little lower than the angels. Some people might not like this, but the psalm is saying that we are the pinnacle of creation, God's greatest creation. Primarily because we can conceive and worship God by choice, the image of God put within each of us. But this has a responsibility. We are stewards of all that God has made. All the animals, all the birds, all the trees, all the fields, these things are limited in their possibilities, and we have responsibility to be stewards. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Human beings are beautiful in God's eyes. Human life is precious and valued because God's image is in us. Instead, we have in our world debased humanity and dethroned God. But God looks at you and looks at me and loves us in Christ Jesus and has made us a royal family. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we may be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. This is why life is precious, because we are made like Jesus. We are made to be reminded that we are like Jesus in our humanity, but loved by God, and God is good. Then there's power. If you have ever felt powerless, you don't have to. God is with us and in us. The psalm says, and crown them with glory and honor. Maybe an uncomfortable doctrine, but God has appointed us as royalty. Now, we don't live in Prince Charles's house. We don't have his resources and anything else. But God has said that we are royalty in his eyes. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people. Wow. A royal priesthood. Again, wow. A holy nation. God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life, light. We reign in life. Romans 5 verse 17, it says, for if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Christ Jesus? We have victory over temptation and death. We reign in life. And we will reign when we go to see him face to face. These verses in Corinthians remind us of that. It says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the immortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This meal that we're going to share in a little while reminds us that God has broken the power of death and of sin, and we reign with him because of it. We are special in his eyes. God is good. And then the promise. Things will not always continue to get worse. This creation will one day end and a new one begin. If you, like me, at times look at the world and think, oh, I've had enough. If I hear of one more disaster, if the BBC tells me one more time this bad thing has happened, I'm going to scream. That's okay. You're like that with the rest of humanity. But also with God too, who wants to see an end to this. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. It is clear God is concerned with all of creation. Hebrews 2 interprets this psalm. It says, in putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for a little while, but now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he may test death for everyone. One day creation will be released from its bondage to sin, and all the bad things that we see in the world will come to an end. That's a promise of Scripture. Romans, Paul says, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. When we see the bad things of this world, we do not despair, because we know that one day God is going to liberate it and make it right. In the meantime, there is pollution. There is climate change. There's things like bird flu that throw up, and there's COVID that comes upon us. That there will be wars and rumors of wars. But one day Jesus will redeem us and all creation will make things new. I finish with 1 John 3 verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished on us. That's how good God is. That we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves as he is pure. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This psalm starts as it begins, starts and ends with one thing, saying, God is good. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for its reminder of how you love us and care for us and elevate us from ourselves. That we are more than this just flesh and blood. That we are heirs to the new kingdom and new beginning that you will bring upon us when you come again. I thank you that you are a good God. And that you love us and care for us. Lord, now as we come to take time to have communion together, as we celebrate the death and resurrection of Christ, may you remind us once again of your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.